Hi, I'm Deborah Lynn Badd, and this is Toxic Free Talk Radio, where we talk about how to thrive in a toxic world and live toxic free. It's Tuesday, August 5th, 2014. I'm here in Clearwater, Florida, and I think we're going to have a thunderstorm today. We have lots of thunderstorms here. It's very interesting tropical weather, but they're wonderful. I love thunderstorms. Anyway, we're going to have a very interesting and very different show today. I talk about very different aspects of living toxic free on this show and invite people on with many different kinds of viewpoints. And I just want to give you a little orientation towards what we're going to talk about today. And that is the whole field of living toxic free. To me, it's like a spectrum. And at one end is everything that's toxic, that is just clearly harmful to life. And even those things that are toxic have different degrees of toxicity. Like something that is very, very, very toxic, the worst toxic thing would be instant death on exposure. And then you would have something, other things that are might make you sick when you're exposed to them, make you sick in various degrees right away. And then there are things that have to build up in your body, and you have to be exposed to them day in and day out. And then when they build up, then you get sick from them. And then you kind of get to the zero point where something is not harmful, but it's not beneficial either. It's just not harmful. And then when you cross that line, you start getting into things that enhance your life, that actually make your health better. And technically speaking, something could be toxic-free if it gets to zero, to that zero point, because it's no longer harming you. And pretty much when we're talking in the realm of consumer products, what we're trying to aim for is just get to that point where you can have a consumer product that's not going to harm you. But what we're talking about today is we're going to take a giant leap over that line and go into an area of talking about something that can greatly enhance your life and your body condition, your health and your happiness, everything, because it's taking you closer to one's natural state, as if you were out in nature, as if you were, you know, a tree. No, but humans out in nature, if we all lived out in the natural world and not in the industrial world, then we would have other elements affecting our bodies, other natural elements, as opposed to the toxic things that we're exposed to in our industrial world. And what we're going to be talking about today is how to be restoring some of that natural life force. And the medium that we're going to be talking about restoring it through is water. Now, before I have my guest start to speak, I also just want to add one thing here. And that is that I talk a lot about water filters, and in fact, I have a water filter. If you've been listening to me for any length of time, you know there's a water filter that I recommend that I use, because I think that it not only removes the toxic chemicals the best, but it also, it kind of starts inching in the direction of making the water more like it exists in nature. The things that we're going to be talking about today, in order to apply any of them, you need to start with water that's not polluted. That's the first step. And so everything that you're doing to remove toxic chemicals from your water is all the right thing to do. And then there's more. And it's fascinating how much more there is that we can do to get these life-enhancing properties into our water and into our bodies. So I'd like to introduce to you my guest. It's MJ Pang. She's MJ Pangman. Hard for me to say that word. Pangman. She's the author of Dancing with Water, The New Science of Water. And it's an amazing book. It really, I've been studying this subject for a long time about water and about the natural state of water. And I have so much to say about this, but I want to let my guest talk. So when I read her material, it's so simply described and so just everything that you need to know arranged in a way that's extremely useful, then I highly recommend that you read her book. Now, you can go to her website, dancingwithwater.com, and you can get a free little course. You just sign up. It's right on the homepage. You can get a course, and every day you'll get emailed another lesson for about 7 days, I think it is, where she goes over all the basics, all the things that we're going to be talking about today. You can just go to her website and sign up, and it'll get delivered to you, because you're going to want to read this over and over again to understand this. So, hi, MJ.
Good morning. How are you, Deborah?
I'm good. How are you?
Excellent.
Kind of a long introduction, but I wanted to get all those things in. Tell us how you got interested in this subject.
Oh, you know, how does anyone fall into what they are meant to do here? Life is such a beautiful journey. It was probably about 15 or 17 years ago that as a writer in complementary medicine, I just ran across this whole concept of water's molecular structure and the fact that water could be a living liquid crystal. And that was so fascinating to me that I just began to research and write. I got an opportunity to work with a Korean professor who had spent 40 years of his life researching this subject, and got a chance to help him translate some of his material into English, because this was virtually unknown at that point in time in this country, that there were things we could do to water to restore its living quality and to restore its energetic qualities, that then when you consume this kind of water could make a powerful difference in the efficiency of your body at the cellular level. Anyway, it was just so fascinating that I began to devote more and more of my time to it. And here we are today, the co-author of the book and I working on a second edition of Dancing with Water, because it has just been so very widely received within a niche, people who are ready for this kind of information. Anyway, that's sort of the background. It just drew me in, and now I'm swimming in it.
I love that. I do want to say you have this really good, I'm looking at your course. I have studied your whole free course here now. And it has a lot of information in it that I am in agreement with and was familiar to me from reading other things. But the way you express it is so very, very clear. And I particularly wanted to bring up this whole idea of living water. It's right at the beginning, you start talking about living water as opposed to dead water. So let's just talk about the difference between those to start out.
Well, it's an interesting thing right from the start, you know, because the term living water is ancient and pervades, you know, many cultures. And so you have to ask yourself, why does this term living water continue to show up? Well, obviously there is a difference between something that is living and life supportive and something that may not be so life supportive. I hate to think that water is ever really dead, but because it can always be restored. So once again, it's never really dead, but it certainly has, like many people on the planet, lower life force levels when it's not treated appropriately. So water can be sick, let's say that, based on how we've treated water. And water can have its life force taken from it.
I think that it's a wonderful thing. It's actually, I think, a sign of life that something can be restored.
Yeah.
Like, for example, I think about the difference between, say, a tree has wood, is made of wood, and then you cut a limb off a tree and you turn it into a piece of lumber. You can't restore the piece of lumber into being a living thing, but you can repair a tree. And to me, that's the difference between something that's living and something that's not living. And so obviously water is a living substance, but it can be damaged, like our bodies can be damaged in terms of its vitality, and it can also be restored. We need to go to break, but we'll come right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lindad, and my guest today is MJ Pangman. She's the author of Dancing with Water, and her website is dancingwithwater.com. We'll be right back. Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is MJ Pangman. We're talking about how to make sick water into living water, and it's so fascinating to me. I just love the way nature works, and I love talking about this. So, if we want to create full spectrum living water, what's the first thing that we should be looking at?
We need to look at the forces in nature, just like you said. And in nature, water is always moving. So that's like number one. In nature, water moves, and when she moves, she never moves in a straight line. So one of the worst things that we do for water is completely out of ignorance on our part. We think that the shortest distance between two points is a straight line.
Mm-hmm.
But water never moves in a straight line. So when we force, and there's a key word too, force water under pressure through straight pipes, we actually strip the energy and the energetic quality from water, because when water freely moves in the earth, she's always meandering, and she always takes longer to get there, but she's full of life when she does. So movement is the key. Turbulence is one of the key things to look for when we want to revitalize water. Movement.
You know, I think about when I, like, I live right here near the Gulf of Mexico, and so I don't go in the Gulf as much as I would like to, and especially I didn't want to go in after the Gulf oil spill. But prior to that, my ex-husband and I used to go, especially in the evening, we'd go walk on the beach and we'd go swimming in the Gulf. And the difference between tap water, like sitting in a bathtub, versus swimming in the Gulf, or like there was one, once I went on a trip to the Caribbean and I went up into the jungle, and there was a pool of water, and it was a pool, like a cascading pool, a series of cascading pools. And so there was all this movement, these little waterfalls coming down into this pool over and over again where I was sitting. And the vitality of that, you can feel that. You can feel that in the water. And the water that comes out of our tap doesn't feel anything like that.
No, it wouldn't.
Yeah. It's pretty amazing. It's pretty amazing.
So, you know, one of the things that happens with movement is that whenever water moves, she's always spiraling. She'll come in contact with a rock or some kind of an obstruction. And always the action off of that rock is a spiral backwards. So you see all these eddies in rivers,
yeah,
and whatnot. And if you watch a river very long, you can just notice the spirals everywhere. The little ones, the large vortices. In fact, you know, our hydrologists now recognize that as a river moves down its course, there are huge spirals that go down the center of it that interact with smaller spirals off of the side. I mean, it's just a beautiful interaction, and it's, I mean, this is water in movement, and this spiral action is one of the things that we find that is capable of reviving water. So, you know, whenever you stir water in a pitcher, you're doing that same kind of thing. I mean, it's a very beautiful meditative way to connect with the water as well. So there are some simple things that we show people in the book that absolutely make perfect sense, just stirring the water, and then when you begin to add some other dynamics to the water, it doesn't have to be hard to bring back water's life force.
So I just want to put before that step one, is just, again, to emphasize that what you need to be doing is starting with water that doesn't have toxic pollutants in it, that you can't revitalize. You can't just take tap water and put it in a pitcher and stir it and start to revitalize it, because the toxic chemicals, not only the straight line of it coming through the pipe, but also the toxic chemicals are working against this life force as well. So first remove toxic chemicals and then start doing these things. Okay,
yes.
So then what comes next after movement?
In nature, the earth is a beautiful combination of electromagnetic fields that are produced by the rocks, by pressures, by the fact that we have an electron-rich environment. The Earth itself is covered with electrons that are delivered by lightning strikes everywhere around the planet all the time. So the Earth itself has a negative charge, and the ionosphere has a positive charge. So there are electromagnetic forces in the Earth that are present all the time that water interacts with and water needs in order to organize. It has been shown through many different methods that when water is placed within a very gentle electromagnetic field, it forces the molecules to align and to organize. So what we're talking about creating for water here is, we mentioned the term liquid crystal. The difference between quartz and a quartz crystal, not only is there a visible difference in the clarity of the material, but the reason for that clarity is that it's the way those molecules are organized. Quartz is in what they call an amorphous conglomeration of silicon dioxide, but quartz crystal is an organized grouping of those molecules, and it gives quartz entirely different properties. I like to remind people that in the 40s, the world changed as we began to understand how to use the properties of crystals in our technology. So crystals are used in solid-state technology today, and they began to be used in the 1940s when we incorporated crystal in crystal radios. It allowed us to perfect the sending of signals further and wider with greater clarity because of this organization in the crystal matrix. So water has the same molecular capacity to organize in the same way as a quartz crystal. It has the same molecular organization if it's allowed and provided these gentle electromagnetic forces that are present in the Earth. And when that happens, water assembles in a matrix that allows the transmission of signals to be clearer and cleaner, and that's water's purpose. That's water's purpose in your body, is to be this medium that carries signals and carries information. Not only does it carry nutrients, but information. And so that's what we're after here. You provide water then with the electromagnetic, the gentle electromagnetic frequencies that are natural in the Earth. Now you've got movement and electromagnetic fields, and you're on your way. Sounds like
Excellent.
We're ready for another break.
We're ready for another break. My guest today is MJ Pangman. She's the author of Dancing with Water. Her website is dancingwithwater.com. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lindad, and we will be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lindad, and my guest today is MJ Pangman, and she's the author of Dancing with Water. We're talking about how to revitalize your already filtered water that doesn't have toxic chemicals in it into being living, vibrant water that can help your body be more alive and healthy and be water the way it is in nature. So, MJ, what's the next thing to do to revitalize your water?
Okay, remember that water that doesn't have any minerals in it does not conduct electricity. Most people don't know that. They think water conducts electricity, but it's the minerals in water that are the mm-hmm. conductive forces. So water mm-hmm. that's empty, water that's had the minerals removed, does not conduct electricity. And water was intended to carry minerals. Not that water is our primary source of minerals. Food ought to be. But water that doesn't have minerals in it is not complete. So the next step is to balance the minerals in water. Now, you mentioned earlier that we are starting here with clean water, and there are lots of ways that we've devised in the last number of years to start with a clean slate, and, some of those ways are to distill the water or to put it through a reverse osmosis filter. That leaves the water empty, which is mm-hmm. not ideal at all, and there are other methods that filter the water to leave the minerals in the water. But no matter what you do, most water on the planet is still not minerally balanced. And And so the question is, where in the world can we find a nice mineral balance? And the answer is in the ocean. That's mm-hmm. where we have all the minerals available to us in their perfect balance. So a person, if they felt comfortable about working with that medium in our day, the ocean is a wonderful source of the balance of minerals. However, nature has provided us with those same minerals in the form of salt. So there are some wonderful salts that can be harvested in many places around the world that are unprocessed, still natural, and they provide us a balance of minerals. So the next step is to balance the minerals in the water, or, as the case may be, to completely remineralize the water based on whatever your starting slate is. So the idea is to put some minerals back in the water, give the water something to work with, give it some energetic quotient, if you will, and not only does that then provide us with a balance of minerals that are more biologically available when we go through this process that we're kind of outlining here, but, you know, it's a way to recharge the water, to re-energize the water. So we recommend that people take an unprocessed natural salt and make a saturated salt solution, and then that they use a small amount of that, depending on the water that they're starting with. If it's completely empty, a half a teaspoon in a half a gallon of water, or if it's already got minerals in it, less than that. But put the minerals back in the water, give the water some energetic quotient to work with, and then as we move the water, as we expose it to organizing energy fields, the water just sort of gathers energy from the universe, if you will, with all of those pieces put back together. It's ready to go.
The first time I heard this concept was actually in 1987. I remember the year because that was the year I met my husband. It was actually at the very same time, within the same hour, I met my husband, and I was also introduced to Victor Schauberger, not in person, but via his book. And his book had not yet been published in America. And somebody had a copy, somebody in the audience, I was giving a speech, and somebody in the audience had a copy, and he had brought it particularly for me, somebody I didn't know. And he just walked up to me afterwards, and he said, "You need to read this book." And he was right, because I read it. And the thing that impressed me the most was his explanation of the complete hydrologic cycle, which is not what you learn in science class. And the complete hydrologic cycle is that water evaporates, it goes up and becomes a cloud, and it comes down in rain, and then it trickles into the earth. And then as it does that, it gathers minerals and salts and all these things that we've just been talking about. And then it comes up in a spring. And so what you get in spring water is this whole living mineralized water, which is not what you get out of the tap. And the point that he made very strongly in the book was that in order to have the water trickle down through the earth, is you have to have vegetation. Without vegetation, the water just runs off. And so when we do things like clear-cut forests and things, we're not allowing water to trickle down through the earth and then come back up to us. And how many of us ever get to drink spring water? I've drunk spring water, and it's wonderful. But it used to be that's all people drank, that there was springs were revered. They were considered to be sacred. They were protected. And the people, there would be like a village, there would be a spring, and that's the water that people drank. And that's not anything like what we're drinking now.
True. It's sad, but it's true.
Sad, but true, yes.
Right. Victor Schauberger was a forester in Austria.
He was a forester,
and he
yes.
loved nature. He loved the forest. So for him to watch what happened with the whole deforestation, and, you know, it would make him cry today to see what we've done with this planet, even since he left in 1957, I think he passed away. But yeah, because he was a lover of nature. He watched nature, and that's where he got all of, you know, got all of his ideas and his inspiration.
Okay, so then the next thing is sound and light.
You know, these are organizing forces that we don't often recognize. One of the chapters in Dancing with Water is completely devoted to the organizational ability of sound. And there's wonderful videos if you start to look up how vibration affects the organization of matter. There was a fellow in Europe, his name was Hans Jenny, and he did some amazing research in the 30s, 40s, I may have the dates wrong with that, where he put sand on a plate, and he vibrated the plate, and he noticed that as he increased the frequency, the sand would organize into geometric form.
I've seen those pictures.
They're awesome.
They
so
are.
The same
they
thing
are.
Happens with water. When you expose water to, I'm going to group these into a larger category and say organizing forces, which include light and sound and life force itself, which is difficult to quantify. Those forces add the energetic quotient to water to help at the molecular level, these geometries create the liquid crystal that we're talking about here as living water.
And we need to go to break. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Gepra Lynn Dadd, and my guest is MJ Hangman, author of Dancing with Water. We'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Gepra Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is MJ Hangman. She's the author of Dancing with Water, and her website is dancingwithwater.com. So the last element to put all this together to re-energize water is darkness. But instead of talking about that, I have two more really important questions, and we only have about 10 minutes left, so I'm going to ask you something else. First, would you tell us what kind of benefits people could expect to experience when they drink this kind of water?
Okay, well, of course that depends on the individual.
Right.
Everyone's in a different place, and I'm going to back up and I'm going to just remind people that water is a living entity, especially when we take care of it. We talk about water as our dance partner in Dancing with Water, and we talk about the dance with water. So the metaphor is on many levels here with this title, Dancing with Water. So everyone's in a different place, but water is conscious and will work with the consciousness of an individual. And that's kind of a step out there for some people, but I put that out there for people to ponder. So water has the capacity to work with you as an individual, and that's why people's responses can be quite individual. But as a whole, one of the first things that people notice when they begin to drink water that they have worked with, that they have worked with to bring back its life force, to re-energize, to restructure, to return water's liquid crystalline state, is more energy. The afternoon fatigue that a lot of people experience these days, that slump in the afternoon. I've had many people tell me that as soon as they started to drink this water, they were good to go, they didn't fall asleep after lunch, and that was, you know, a miraculous thing for them. So that's probably the most often recognized difference. Another thing that women pay more attention to is softer skin. For you, Gepra, that is an indication of, because the skin is the largest detoxification organ of the body, anything that affects the condition of the skin is an indication that your body is now able to move the toxins through this largest detox organ through the skin. And any improvements in the condition of the skin are about how water is moving and doing what it needs to do as far as hydration and detox. So many women notice softer skin right away. Athletes will tell you that they have the capacity to work harder and recover faster. The lactic acid buildup that athletes often experience as a result of hard workouts at the level of the muscles seems to be able to move and clear faster when you are working with what I refer to now as more efficient water. The water is more efficient. It's able to do its overall job in a more efficient manner. So at the cellular level, we're talking about water moving into the cells to hydrate, and at an extracellular level, we're talking about water drawing toxins out in a more efficient manner. So some of the other things that people who have some symptoms often notice, I'm going to back up again and give some background here. Diabetes is known as the thirsty disease.
That's right.
In Chinese medicine. So many people who have diabetic symptoms will tell you that all of a sudden they're not as thirsty anymore and that they don't require the level of medication that they did. Now, we cannot make any claims as far as that goes, but I hear that again and again, that blood sugar balance begins to balance. That's an amazing thing, but that's about water's role in the body. And once again, diabetes is called the thirsty disease in traditional Chinese medicine. So, I mean, these are some of the things. People who do live blood cell analysis can take before and after samples of the blood and show dramatically how the red blood cells are, they move apart. When a person is sick or dehydrated, the red blood cells stick together. And they're not able to move. That's called rouleau, correct. But drinking one glass of this water, I remember the fellow in South Africa sending me these first pictures. He used live blood analysis to help diagnose and work with his patients. And he said, oh, I could not believe this. Typically, if I would give a patient a glass of water, it would not make a difference in the blood. But this water, within 10 or 15 minutes, moves those red blood vessels apart, gives them a charge, if you will, and offers me the clarity to see what's going on in their blood so that I can tell them, you know, what difficulties they have that we can work with.
I am just
flabbergasted.
I am sitting here laughing with delight because, of course, if you put... you're probably familiar with a book called, I'm trying to remember, Your Body's Many Cries for Water.
Cries for Water.
Where he just talks about water just being dehydrated, you know.
Yeah.
But here we're going to a different level now and saying instead of putting this degraded water in your body, you're now putting living water in your body. And, of course, it's going to perk up. It's just going to perk up. Everything is going to start going right.
You get it. That's right.
We don't think of, you know, we think of things like aggressive factors, like toxic chemicals, something that is being actively done to our bodies as being something that is harmful. But we don't often think about what's missing. And not only do we miss nutrition, but we also miss this aliveness. And we so often don't even think at that level. And yet, I'm just thrilled to hear that story because it really does show that our body is waiting to have these aliveness factors. Now, I want you to just talk a little bit about some of the products that you have available on your website because you have a number of different things that people can use to apply all these things that you're talking about. So why don't you start? My favorite thing is the water cradle. I want to get a water cradle.
You picked the top of the line in our opinion. That's an interesting choice you made, and that speaks to you, Deborah.
This one really
your
speaks
connection
to me.
With nature, yeah. You know, one of the reasons Melanie and I wrote this book, and we just said, will people listen to this? Will they care? And we just said, we're going to show people that there are 100 ways to bring these forces that we've just spoken about on this program together to bring back life force. There are 100 ways to allow water to move. There are 100 different ways to add salts back in mineral formulations, in liquid form these days. there are 100 ways to add the life force organizing forces, to bring in chi, prana, sound, light. There are just 100 ways to do this. Everything from some very simple, natural ways, like I spoke in the beginning, stirring the water within a, you can put magnets in your water. Even placing a quartz crystal in water, and we talk about that in the book, why that works. People have done that for centuries, and it's been poo-pooed as an old wives' tale. But there is science behind putting, placing rocks and stones in water. They have an effect. We explain that in the book. So there are so many different ways, and we have tried to gather for the website a plethora of different ways, from the very simple to a collar that you can place between two bottles and spin the water through a magnetic field. From something as simple and inexpensive as that to some very expensive devices that automate the process. But you've chosen something that we developed and is an exclusive for Dancing with Water, and we called it the Water Cradle. It's based on Victor Schauberger's work, where he showed that this shape, shapes are very important in the universe, that Victor Schauberger worked with, the shape of the egg, it's nature's gestation vessel. It allows water to continue to move quietly in the dark, like what happens in the below ground part of nature's water hydrological cycle that you mentioned earlier.
Mm-hmm.
So then if you've got the appropriate salts in the water, you put water in a place where it can breathe within a ceramic container. You are providing in the base, which we don't have time to go into, organizing forces. There are paramagnetic materials, there are life force attracting materials in that base, surrounded with something that's called a tensor ring. We talk about that in the book, a way to gather life force, protect the water, because water is very open to receive information once you create this liquid crystal, and now you want to protect it. You don't want it exposed to the deleterious electromagnetic fields like microwaves and fluorescent lighting and some of those other things that are in our homes, the fields that emanate off of computers. So this is it's the water cradle. It structures the water, it protects the water, and it ennobles the water. And that's Victor Schauberger's term as well.
Well, we only have like 10 seconds left. So I have to say thank you so much for coming today and telling us all of this. And I want everybody to go to MJ's website, dancingwithwater.com, and find out more about this. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd-Bevo.
Thank you, Deborah.